I hope everybody's okay in Ellettsville after a rough ride yesterday afternoon as well. Something about spring coming in like a lion and exiting like a lamb. Well, the lion's been around here recently. How are you?
I am fine, but yes, I mean it. When that sky starts turning green, you better be watching out. That, you know, that is a sign. Duck your head. But the hail came in. So much rain. So I'm just grateful that no more damage had been what we've seen. We did have some trees down across the major roads. Union Valley Road had a tree down. Of course, if you get a tree down straight across the road, you're going to stop a lot of traffic.
But
speaking of stopping a lot of traffic, for those people who are accustomed to heading out from Bloomington to the Ellettsville and beyond, they're getting ready for closing that. It's going to be lane restrictions there in that area, you know, right before you get to the interchange that would head to Indianapolis.
That will start on April 9th, too, yeah.
Right, that's April 9th, and they keep saying it's going to start April 9th. All this work is supposed to start April 9th when you've got so many more people in this community, unless they all leave on the 8th, the same day as the eclipse. There's going to be a lot of traffic backup on the 9th, we've been told.
And our forecast suggests there's going to be rain on that 9th, 10th, 11th as well. So we know outdoor projects are at the mercy of Mother Nature, and we know the eclipse coming up at Monday is at the mercy of Mother Nature. The forecast we just gave for that was good, Marty, so we'll hope that continues. But it's been an eventful morning and afternoon in Ellettsville, and those of you who are not in the RBB school system, there's news, and I'll just read you the emails from Dr. Jerry Sanders that were sent to parents in the RBB earlier today, just after 11 a.m. The email says, we had a bomb threat called into the Edgewood Intermediate School just after 11 a.m. this morning. Law enforcement was on the site and swept the school. Students are in their classrooms. We are trying to figure out the credibility of it. The superintendent went on to type, please don't come to the school. I'll let you know when all is clear. And then he sent a follow-up email after explosive-sniffing canines were taken through the schools and multiple law enforcement agencies helping. All is clear. They swept the primary school and the EECC also to make sure that everybody is and everything is out of there. The FBI and multiple law enforcement agencies have determined that the bomb threat call was a swatting incident. Many schools throughout the state and county have received swatting calls designed to disrupt a school day. The email goes on to say, we kept the students in the classroom because the caller did not give a location. To move students could have placed students and staff into greater danger. In order to reduce alarm among the students, we are going to continue on with as much of a normal day as possible. So that's what all the hullabaloo was if you were over. And Marty, you said you saw some of that activity going on late this morning.
Right. I was on my way to the convention center with the Bloomington Chamber of Commerce for their speaker, the new mayor. So I was looking forward to that. And on the way, all of a sudden, there is one law enforcement car, another one. There was, I lost track. I think there was at least seven that I saw in just one, you know, in just a couple of minutes. So I thought there must be some horrible accident. Something is blowing up. Something terrible is going on. And indeed, it was something terrible that had put people through a lot of angst. And so just so glad that it turned out not to be the real thing. But, you know, law enforcement never knows if it's the real thing or not. And they cannot, no one can afford to just say, oh, well, it's another prank. You cannot do that. I mean, just the time you think it's not going to be serious, it would be. And it's just a real shame that people have to do such horrible things.
Well, and I think, is it funny? Is it hot? I don't know what it is, but I hope that, and they will find who did this. And it will be, I'm sorry, I knew I shouldn't have done that. Well, that doesn't work. We all have the internet. We all know the do's and don'ts. And I don't have a lot of sympathy right now. And I know you should give young people a second chance. And we will. But that frustrates me, Marty, because of all the lives, that's what terror sounds like. That's what terrorism
right.
is. When you affect that many people, and your prank's not funny. The Ellettsville Police Department said the school day has resumed as usual. The investigation is ongoing, and there's no threat to public safety at this time. So thanks to the Monroe County Sheriff's Department, Bloomington Police Department, Indiana University Police Department, K-9 Unit, and the FBI, all involved of this. Thanks for the quick response, and we're thankful that we're not talking about anything else that has to do with it. You were busy today. We had Mayor Kerry Thompson join our program the final Thursday in March, and you heard from her today. What was going on at the convention center, Marty?
Well, they're going to start doing this on a routine basis to have elected officials for the mayor, maybe just the I don't know exactly who all they are going to have, whether it will just be yearly with the mayor or whatever. But, you know, the Chamber of Commerce is always trying to bring people together, the business community, the elected officials from the city and the county, and as well as the townships, bring us together to see what the plans are and how we can learn to work together. And it certainly appears that we're doing a better job of that than what maybe we have in the past. We'll just see how. We know that there's a lot of people who waited a long time to get the wheels going on the convention center. So let's see how that works as well.
It appears that the city council has something on their agenda for a special meeting on Friday. I saw that come out earlier this week.
Well, I saw that as well. And remember, not every. In order to get the money to the CIB, the city council has to approve this because they are the legislative body. So the city council sent someone, I think we talked about this last week, to the Food and Beverage Tax Advisory Commission to say this is what we would like to do with this $250,000. And they were to send a reply back to the city, put something in writing, if I understood correctly. I know at that meeting, my comment was, remember that this money has to be set aside in a separate fund, and in addition to which, all of the interest rate from that fund must stay within that fund, because when you think about the interest rates and as much money that is setting there, millions and millions in that food and beverage tax fund. But then once that comes back to the city, I believe that the city council was going to have to vote again to say, yes, we are going to spend this money. They voted to send it to the food and beverage tax people. Now, that came back to them, and I would think they might have to vote on that again before the check can be cut to go forward with the CIB. But I haven't read all of the small print about what's happening on Friday.
That sounds like probably what it could be, correct?
Right,
knowing.
That's what I thought it most likely was.
And I'm mad at you for a minute, just for a quick second. You told me last week you were at the Lincoln Day dinner, right? Did I get that right? And I wrote that down somewhere. And then all of a sudden, the internet's littered with pictures of you receiving some kind of award. How did you just left that out last week, huh? You just didn't want to tell me about that. Okay.
No. Well, now that I had no idea. I was like busy calling everybody, saying, you know, our friend Barb Clark, she was my mentor from the very beginning when I first started back in 1988, and she's 95 now. So let's do something to honor her. Let's fill these tables and so forth. And so we did that. I had no idea that they were going to throw me in the mix. I had no idea.
Well, tell everybody what you won. Let's start with that so we can congratulate you properly.
Well, it was a Lifetime Achievement Award. And I couldn't have been happier or more thrilled or really more shocked when they handed me, when they were speaking, I thought they were talking about Barb, and they'd already done Barb when I was out of the room, and by the time I got back, it was like they were talking, I thought they were talking about Barb. No, they were handing me this Lifetime Achievement Award. I was just shocked. So, but delighted, of course, because I do love county government. I don't know why. Whoever thought in 1988 I would still be there. I thought it would be like, you know, teaching Sunday school, and you could do it for a while and then quit, whatever. but at any rate, it was a great honor, and I was delighted to receive it. And, of course, sitting there at the table with Barb, and then when we all got up to leave, I mean, she needed no help walking or whatever. And here I am with, you know, I have Meniere, so I have this vertigo thing. So I'm trying to touch something or somebody help me so I don't fall over on my nose. And Barb's just like, oh, I'm fine. She's walking just fine. She's 95. So I was excited for her and a little bit displeased with my situation, but it could be a whole lot worse.
Well, congratulations, and I hope, and I know you'll go slow. We don't have to hurry up. We don't have to hurry up and be anywhere. But Marty Hawk is our guest, Lifetime Achievement Award winner. Who bestowed this wonderful honor on you? Was that Monroe County?
No, as it turned out, that was the Monroe County Republican Lincoln Day dinner, where they had some of the governor's candidates doing a debate, and Jim Banks was there as the speaker, and, you know, so a lot of the state reps were there, and just we had over 200 people there, and so it was an honor, and I appreciated it very much.
Well, congratulations. It is well-deserved for all the time and effort you put into it. Never factor that job out by hourly. You would be disappointed by the rate you would get in return. But without Marty, folks like you, our tax dollars would be, we want to keep an eye on them. We don't always agree with what they are used for, but that is the job of the county council, to make sure that the fiscal responsibility is being met. And jail talk, convention center talk, it's every week until they get built, right? There's no way we can just avoid it.
Right. You have to do it. Absolutely. We did get the appraisals back on some of the ground, and part of what I'm reading is something about part of that is in the having to do with Ellettsville's plan. So I have got to get in there and study the whole thing, which I've not had the opportunity to do that, which I certainly will do. I know that my email is exploding from people in this area that says, do not do this. This is where we, you know, everybody wants to see a Trader Joe's and a lot of different, you know, things that they want.
But nobody wants a jail. Everybody wants safety, Marty, but nobody wants a jail. All right, I got you.
Well, actually, there's a lot of people who do believe that the jail is needed to be replaced, and they were hoping that there would be a spot that they would find closer to the services. But whatever happens, I'll vote the way that my district would like for me to vote. I'm not adverse to replacing the jail because, most of us realize that has to happen. And so that has to happen. And wherever it ends up being will not be my choice, probably. Nevertheless,
Marty, in a perfect world, and we don't live in that, but we can dream out loud for a second. The perfect solution to this problem would be take everybody out of the current jail footprint, put them, quote unquote, somewhere else, tear that down and rebuild it in the same spot. Would that be the perfect result if that could happen?
Well, because that won't work because you have to go up. And they don't want it to go up that many flights. They want it to go bigger around the footprint and see where the jail is now. It's going straight up.
Right. So they don't want up anymore. Up's not good.
Right.
So you have to find a footprint that is so wide as opposed to narrow.
And more square foot of actual real estate. So then you look at what properties. I know that during the debate at the city level, one of the city council people was saying, look, with all of this additional ground that was bought for the convention center, and yet they're not going to use all of that ground, like goes all the way down to Second Street, then he was saying, why cannot part of that ground then go for the jail? And of course, you know, that wouldn't hurt the convention center business at all. It probably would help it because you could build a nice looking facility and whatever. And that
yeah, you don't have to tell everybody what the facility is, right? You just build a nice one.
You just build something nice, and that would maybe assist with some of the problems that's been going on at Seminary Square. Probably that kind of thing wouldn't happen with jail right there. So there's been people suggesting other places. I don't know that anybody's going to slow down and do that at this point because people are ready for them to go, you know, go full speed ahead. I think the location is the most important decision to be made. And I am looking at the appraisal of a portion of it that having to do with there at North Park, they're saying $10,750,000. With the highest and best use would be a mixed-use development with commercial and multifamily in that. Now, that's just a portion of the appraisal that I'm looking at, and that's several pages long, and I have not studied the whole report, so I'm anxious to look at that and see where we go. The other thing we need to be aware of is that, of course, the county is closed on Monday.
Yeah.
Having to do with Eclipse Day. But guess what? Important thing is happening then on the 9th.
Early voting.
Well, the tax bills are going out.
Well, that's doubly important.
Right. So I've been calling some of my friends in government and, you know, some of the trustees, whatever, giving them some heads up because our tax rates have gone up and our assessed values have gone way up. And you take that higher tax rate times a much higher assessed value, I think we're going to hear some major moaning and groaning when people get those tax bills. And so we need to be prepared. And I just want to remind people, even though it says it's coming from the Monroe County Treasurer, it is not all county taxes. That's taxes that cover a library, taxes that cover your township. If you're in the city, it covers the city taxes. It covers your solid waste taxes. So there's a lot of different taxes on there.
They're retroactive too, right?
Well, the assessed value is retroactive.
Okay.
These are the taxes that are due in 2024, but the numbers that they arrived at all that was when we were voting on budgets in 2023, the fall of 2023, setting those rates. Those are the rates that we are using for your assessed value that you know, takes. You have to figure out what your assessed value is and then see what kind of adjustments they make to that. And then it's your tax rate then times that number that you arrive at. And you should be getting that information on your Form 11, which will be coming up. You'll be receiving that soon, but that's not for this year's taxes. That is something you hang on to because that tells you what you'll be the value you're taxed at. And that will be for next year. And you only have so long to reply to that if you do not agree with what you think those numbers are. So, and we know what happened with property values. You go back, it all goes back, not just to the year before, but then the year before that. So those numbers, we know those numbers still stayed high for the assessed values, the market value. Homes were still staying up there, high prices. So, That's the way it's going to happen, and I think people are going to be shocked. And then they may say, well, I don't have to worry about it. It's all taken care of because it comes out of my house payment. Well, let me tell you what's going to happen. When there's not enough money in your escrow account, because they're taking out so much every month to put in that escrow account to pay your taxes, and when they do that, if they find you're going to be short to make that next payment, you are going to get a notification that says you got to start paying more into your escrow.
Yep, that's how it works.
That's
how it works.
And I would just want to make sure that people are aware that that is coming out, that it should be mailed out on the 9th. I just talked to Kathy Smith, our treasurer, to make sure it still was on go out. I did want to say a real quick, because I know it's time for us to go. I really had a sad email today because one of our very, very best public servants, Troy Hatfield with the probation department, is leaving to go to greener pastures, a lot better paying job, and with other things that's going to make him very happy. And so congratulations to him. But he has been just a stable influence on all the probation numbers and so forth that we've worked with. We just, look to him to be the expert.
Well, that's another thing to make your taxes go up too, Marty, if we have to pay people more on their jobs. It's just how the world works, right?
Well, yes, and I have worked very hard for 8 months now trying to get parity between two offices that are doing very similar work, and one office was getting paid quite a bit more, a lot more, than the other office. And we got this information back from Wagner, Irwin, and Sheely, and they're comparing it to different counties. Well, I just got on the phone, called the other counties, and got some more additional information. It's available. It's all public information. To see how those offices compare there and did that. But it looks like at least the Personnel Administration Committee, which I sat on, did say we're going to make some adjustments there. And so we'll be coming to look at that at our council meeting on the 9th. And the people in that office that have been waiting a long time, 8 months, to get an answer, I think that they're going to be very happy to get this settled, because that's been very troublesome. But yes, every time you see salaries go up, then of course that money has to come from someplace. But you cannot expect never to give people the
absolutely
salary.
Yeah.
So
you only have so much money. We got to decide where our priorities are and how we spend it. Correct.
That's right. And we have to remember there are some things that's county government responsibility that we have to do. And other things, gee, it'd be nice if we had, all this money floating around. We could do this, that, and the other thing. There's never an end to good things we could do with other people's money.
Right. But there's just an end to the money.
We have to take care of our responsibility first. And I will just have to say, best of luck with what's going on with that new library. I feel so bad for those folks. So bad.
I saw a front page story the other day. It's still closed.
Yes.
So I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. It's just really sad. But, I hope that you had a good Easter.
I did. I hope you did as well. What beautiful weather we did have. I mean, the weather yesterday was not very good. Today is not very good either, but Sunday was absolutely gorgeous. So,
it was.
And so was Saturday.
My daughter and her husband was here for the weekend, and he just took charge of the grill. I mean,
atta boy.
Amber and brats one night, and for Easter we had grilled asparagus and grilled salmon, and it was just wonderful.
You can thank me for that, Marty, because we decided to punt on grilling on Sunday because the weather was dodgy, and I told my wife, I said, the second we decide we're not going to grill, it's going to be perfect outside, and there it was, perfect outside. So that was my gift to everybody on Easter.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Well, I always appreciate your time as well. Congratulations on your Lifetime Achievement Award. And, well, we'll talk to you next week and see if we all make it through the eclipse and the tax bills and the early voting starts. And, folks, if you're gonna, if you think you're signed up to vote, well, you better find out, because that's Monday. And guess who's not open Monday? The county. So you have to go online before that. Don't procrastinate, Marty. Well, we'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.